We want you to continue praying for them. And she had talked to Mary today and to find out how Brother Sisson was doing. And so he was able to drink and eat a little something. And so we're thankful for that. But and so she told her that she was going to sing that song tonight. And I couldn't help but think many times when I've heard Mary sing it herself. And so we're thankful that God can take whatever burdens we've got, whatever issues we're going through, and somehow he can bring blessings out of it. He's amazing. That's why Paul wrote, "For we know that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and called according to his purpose." Tonight, if you have your Bibles, we ask you to keep your Bibles. I'm going to preach on something. I don't know that I've ever preached on this before, but I've had a lot of different people ask me questions about it. And I've had two or three recently to ask me, what's my thought? And I don't like to just say, well, this is what I think, because then people says, well, he has an opinion. But, you know, opinions, everybody's got opinions. And just because we have an opinion about something doesn't make it right. What I like to do is when I have a question about something, I like to go in to the Word of God. And so tonight we're going to look at cremation. People ask me, so what do you think about cremation? Is it okay to be cremated, have our bodies cremated when we die? What's your thoughts on that? And only thing I know to do is get into the Word of God and see what the Bible teaches. I also want to give credit to David Cloud. He's a preacher that he's wrote several books, but he wrote the Way of Life Encyclopedia for the Bible and Christianity. And I've utilized a lot of things which he said in that, because he and I are pretty well on the same sheet of music in our thinking. But tonight I want to look, and when we talk about cremation, we talk about burning the bodies. And of course it's burning the bodies after they have died. Now some do it, we realize that some do it for financial reasons. We also realize that other people does it for other reasons, but the main thing you hear today is, well, it's more convenient, or either it's cheaper to do it. And so what we need to do is we need to study the scriptures, and I will give you several to give you some thought on this matter, and you can go ahead and you can evaluate and study yourself to be able to rightfully divide the Word of God. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Now, in studying the scriptures myself, I am convinced, as far as we as Christians, that we should not do it. I'll show you why, and if you agree or disagree, but do it based upon what the Word of God says, not upon your opinion and not upon my opinion. First of all, I want to give you about 10 or 12 points on cremation. First of all, let me say cremation has an origin with the heathen and heathen religions and the purposes for which they do it. Why do the Hindus and other religious elements like that, why do they go ahead and burn their bodies? Well, they do not believe that those bodies are going to be raised again and a resurrection of a body like we do, because the scripture clearly teaches that our bodies are going to be resurrected. The Bible says there's a resurrection for the just and the unjust. There's a first resurrection of the saved, and there's a second resurrection of the dead, the Bible teaches. And so therefore, they practice the ceremony of cremation in the belief that their dead will be reincarnated. And be reincarnated, they will come back into a different form of body. It may be a man, or it may be animal. And so to destroy the body, sometimes they believe releases that spirit of the deceased and doesn't hold on to that. And others, they are afraid that if they don't burn the body, that the spirit will hang around and haunt them, and they'll have issues, the ones who are alive, because it hangs around in the vicinity and haunts them in doing that. And so you can study different religions. They have different beliefs about why they practice the cremation. Now, the best thing we do is look in the Bible. Turning your Bibles to Genesis, we're going to start in chapter 25 of the book of Genesis. Look in the Bible and you'll find God's people always practice burial. Let's go back to Abraham in chapter 25. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8. The Bible says, and Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered to his people, and his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him. Did you notice that? They buried him. Now also in verse 10, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth, there was Abraham buried and Sarah, his wife. And if you look at back in Genesis chapter 23, you'll find that she was buried in that field in verses 1 through 4. You go on to chapter 35 of Genesis, we run across Rachel when she died. And in chapter 35, you notice in verse number 19, the Bible says, and Rachel died and was buried. And in verse 20, and Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. And that is a pillar of Rachel's grave until this day. Now turn on, if you would, in verse 29 of the same chapter, chapter 35. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered to his people, being old and full of years, and his son Esau and Jacob buried him. Again, they buried him. Look, if you would, in chapter 49 concerning Jacob. In chapter 49, again, we find, and we're just going to run you through the Bible in different times and different ways to show you a few verses. Look in verse 33. And Jacob had made an end, commanding his sons. He gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered to his people. Skip on down to verse 13. And his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in a cave. And so therefore, they buried him. Now notice, if you would, in Joseph chapter 50 in verse 26. The Bible says, so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. We'll come back to that here in a little bit. But notice on over, if you would, in Joshua, chapter 24. Now, keep your Bibles. We're going to go through the Bible quite a bit. When we study a subject, we like to go through and look at a lot of references. In chapter 24 of Joshua, verse number 29, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance. Now, notice as well in chapter 24, let's go down 1 Samuel chapter 25. Samuel was buried in 1 Samuel chapter 25. If you notice in verse number 1, the Bible says, and Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him. Did you notice that he was buried as well? David, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 10, was buried. Let's go on over. You say, well, them's all Old Testament. Let's go to New Testament. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter number 14. In Matthew chapter 14. Here we have the death of John the Baptist. The Bible says in chapter 14, in verse number 10, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. So they buried John the Baptist. Notice, if you would, in the book of Acts, chapter number 5. In Acts, chapter number 5, in the early church, we had a man and his wife. They lied to the Holy Spirit. Notice what happened in verse number 5 of the book of Acts, chapter 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell dead and gave up the ghost, and great fear was on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. Look in verse number 10, when his wife came in. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth and buried her by her husband. Now also, if you'll notice in Acts chapter number 8, when Stephen was stoned, notice what they did to him in verse number 2. The Bible says, and the devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. Now, turn back, if you would, to the book of Genesis, chapter number 50. I told you we was going to go back there just a moment. Now, Joseph, in Genesis chapter number 50, Joseph was going to die. Now, you remember, he was the one that went to Egypt, and then after he died, his people was there for over 400 years. He knew that they were going to be slaves because God had foretold them that. And notice, if you would, in verse number 24. In verse number 24, and Joseph said to his brother, "And I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob." That was Canaan, by the way. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence." So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now notice this, his bones was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now 400 years passed by. Look, if you would, in Exodus, we find them leaving Egypt after 400 years, and notice in Exodus what was going on, in Exodus chapter 13. In Exodus chapter 13, look if you would in verse number 19. The Bible says, "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly swore the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you." Now picture this. They are carrying the bones of Joseph in a coffin. Not only after 400 years, he was waiting for a burial, but for 40 years, they went round and round in the wilderness carrying this coffin of Joseph. Notice, if you would, in Joshua chapter 24. In Joshua chapter 24, in verse number 32. "And the bones of Joseph, with the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a partial ground which Jacob bought." In other words, they waited till they got to Canaan. And some people says, "Well, preacher, I think that God will be okay because it's more convenient to just go ahead and burn, and it's easier to disperse the ashes." Listen, if there was ever a call for convenience, it would have been in the body of Joseph. He waited 400 years in a coffin to be buried. And look, God could have just said, "Well, go ahead and burn his body and put it in a little can or a bag and take it with you." But that's not what they did. And picture 40 years going round and round the wilderness carrying a coffin. And wouldn't it have been a lot easier to carry a little sack that had his ashes in it? But God didn't do that. He made them carry the bones, waiting for Joseph to get to the land of Canaan. And they buried him in the land of Canaan. Now, so therefore, it was no doubt that it was cheaper, more convenient for them just go ahead and burn his body, but that's not what God had for them to do. Now, why do we bury our bodies as Christians? We bury our bodies because we're looking for a resurrection of our bodies, not somebody else's body. Not being reincarnated in some animal or another body, my old body is going to be changed in the twinkle of an eye. The Bible says that to be saved, you must believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus said, "When you believe on me, that ye shall never die." And because he is a resurrection and life, we have resurrection and hope of resurrection. Look, if you would, in the New Testament, in the book of Romans chapter number 8. In Romans chapter number 8, and we're going to look quite a bit in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's a resurrection chapter that talks about a lot of things about our body. So keep your finger there, even if we leave a time or two, we're going to go back. But in Romans chapter 8, look, if you would, in verse 22. He says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of" what? Our body. In other words, we believe that God's going to take our body, and yes, it will decompose, but But listen, Joseph's body decomposed too. But our body would decompose. But what God would do is come and he would change that body into a glorified body. There will be a transformation of my old body. Therefore, some people try to teach everybody will have the same body and everybody will look just alike. But I don't believe that's true at all. I believe we all have our individuality because the rich man and Lazarus both had theirs. I believe we maintain ours too. Now, look if you would in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And again, if you keep a marker there or something, we're going to go back there a time or two. But look if you would in verse number 22 and 23 for right now. In 22 it says, as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ at his coming. Now he's talking about the resurrection. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, what we have is we have the promise of a resurrected body. And God's going to take this old vile body, this old corruptible body, and he's going to make it incorrupt. Look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, notice if you would, in verse number 1. It says, for we know that in our earthly house, that's this body of this tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It's not talking about mansions, if you read on down. It's talking about your body. We're going to have an eternal body. And so, therefore, what we learn is this, that God, all God's people that we can find, was always buried. But when possible, we need to be buried. Now, I understand there are sometimes people may be burned in the fire. Sometimes somebody may drown at the sea. All kinds of things can happen. And that will not prevent the resurrection from happening in your body. But the reason why we bury our bodies is because we believe in the resurrection of Christ, and we believe that burying the body is a physical seed. Look back, if you would, in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And notice, if you would, he relates this to like a farmer. And it's like a seed that goes in the ground, it decomposes, but it brings forth a new life. Look, if you would, beginning, in verse number 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou hast sowest, not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. In other words, we put our seed, our body, into the ground. We know it's going to decompose before it can come back to a new body. This is not the body I'm going to live with, thank God, amen. This is not my body for eternity. This body is going to decompose. If they bury me today, I will decompose. But when Jesus comes back, he will change my body, and I will have a glorified body. And you can go on down and read. He says we'll have a heavenly body, a celestial body, instead of terrestrial body, and all those. And so he goes on, and Paul explains that. And so therefore, when we bury someone, we believe that we will see that brother or sister again if they're saved, because we believe that we are doing nothing but planting a seed that will come back into a new plant. It will come back into a new body. And so therefore, we know and we believe that Christ is able to do that. Now, let me say this, that even God himself, if you turn in your Bibles a moment, keep your finger in New Testament, but turn in your Bibles just a minute back in Deuteronomy chapter 34. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, and I can show you many, scriptures where God just simply made fire come down from heaven and devoured somebody. It was nothing with God. He could destroy somebody's body. Now the Bible tells us in Jude that Satan disputed with Michael, the archangel, over the body of Moses. Now think about that. When was that? Look, if you would, in Deuteronomy 34, in verse 5. It says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he, who's he? God. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab. So even God practiced burial. Whenever he got ready, he could have easily just said, well, I'm just going to consume his body. Devil can't get him. I'm going to turn him into a bunch of ashes. I'm going to blow his ashes upon all the land. I don't have to worry. You know, the devil wanted his body so that the children of Israel could probably worship it, that he'd turn it into something negative. But God said, no, I'm going to take his body. I'm going to bury it where no man knows where it's buried. But he could very easily say, I'm just going to cremate it. I'm going to turn it into a bunch of ashes. I'm going to send fire down from heaven, and I'm going to blow upon it. But the only problem with that is this. Everywhere in the Bible where you find God sending fire down and consuming something, it was bringing a curse or the wrath of God upon that thing that he consumed. When God come down upon and rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, it wasn't because he was fond of Sodom and Gomorrah. His wrath was being poured out upon the city because of their sin. There was a... you could find, and I'll show you a couple of verses. I could take you to a bunch of them, but I could show you every time that God used fire, it always represented the wrath and anger of God and a curse of God. Look, if you would, back in Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32 is when the children of Israel, while Moses was up there getting the tablets of stone, they built a golden calf. Remember that? And those of you would, in verse number 20. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it in powder and strawed it up upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. In other words, that's how God dealt with those things. And you can turn it over to Leviticus chapter number 10. Leviticus chapter 10. I know I'm taking to a few places, but I want you to see some things. I'll bring it to a close here in a little bit. Notice if you would in Leviticus chapter 10. Notice if you would in verse number 1 too. Now Nadab and Abihu, now those who were sons of Aaron, took either of them, his censer, and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord. And he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now, he consumed them, and he burnt them, but it wasn't because he wanted them to have a good funeral, an honorable funeral. He consumed them because of his wrath that came upon them. Now, I could take you, and you can write these places down and go back and look. I'm not going to go all up to all of them. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25, Numbers 16, 35, 2 Kings 10, 26, 1 Corinthians 14, 12, Acts 19, 18 and 19, Revelation 20, 15, when God cast everybody in the lake of fire, that's not because he's happy with them. That's because his judgment. Now also, there was a situation, look back in your Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy. There was also a god of Ammonites. Now, this god was called Molech. Now when you study the god of Molech, what he did was this. He had a big bull's head. And he was made of brass, and he held his arms out. His body was hollowed out. And they would heat a fire. And he would sit, and he'd be so heated. And he'd be so hot. And then the fire would be there. And they would take and they would lay their children in the arms of Molech. And when they would do that, their children would die in the fire. Now, they would be playing drums and cymbals and all that during all this to drown out the cries of the children. Can you imagine anyone being so cruel? But you see, they were so ignorant according to God's ways, they thought that they were worshiping the god of Molech by sacrificing their children to the god. And so, therefore, they would take and put them in the fire. Notice if you would in Deuteronomy chapter number 18. We'll look at a few verses relating to him. Notice if you would in verse number 10. The Bible says, there should not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or observer of times, or enchanter, or a witch, or charmer, or consulter, or with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Now, think about this. He says in verse 12, for all that do these things are an abomination. In other words, he said, now listen, you think that you're sitting there burning your children's body and you think something good's going to come out of it? He said, I consider that abomination to do that. Look, if you would, on over, you could check 2 Kings chapter 16, 17, 21, 23. All of them has the same type of verse relating to them making their children walk it through the fire. But turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter number 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. In Jeremiah chapter 32, notice if you would, in verse 35, the Bible says, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire into Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. In other words, God says, listen, that's not the way I want a body treated. That's not what I want you to do. I don't want you to present your children there. Look, if you would, in Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. Again, we have them talking about Molech. Notice, if you would, in verse 21. The Bible says, that thou hast slain my children, delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them. And in all thine abominations, thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth. In other words, again, God's not happy that this is happening. Now, you remember in Romans chapter 14, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, the Bible states clear that our body is not our own. We have been bought with a price. Our body, those of us who are saved, our body is the Lord's. And so therefore, what happens is, we need to remember that our body is the Lord's. Now, notice if you would, back in John chapter number 19. In John chapter 19, and those of us who are Christians, why are we called Christians? Well, it's because they were first called Christians at Antioch. Why? They did it kind of as a mock because they were acting like Christ. And so we are to be Christ-like. So I guess if we're going to look at any example how we ought to treat our body when we die, let's look at what Jesus did with his body. And, you know, Jesus could very well say, well, just burn my ashes and I'm going to show you, I'm going to bring it all back to life. That's not what, and listen, he didn't even own a tomb. He didn't own a place to be buried. He had no place to lay his head. I mean, he didn't have nothing. What he had, earthly goods, was his garment. They took it off of him, and they gambled for his garment. And so, therefore, he didn't even have a tomb. Somebody gave him a tomb. But notice, if you would, in John chapter 19. In John chapter 19, beginning in verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. And he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came by Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And they took the body of Jesus, and wound it up in linen, clothed with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. And now in the place where he had crucified, there was a garden, in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never a man yet laid. And there laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. So there again, Jesus, he wasn't cremated. It would have been cheaper for him. He could have very well said, just go ahead and cremate me. But they buried him. And, of course, he was buried. And from the from his dead, he resurrected. And therefore, we know from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we are waiting for the catching away of the saints. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And therefore, our bodies will rise. And so we need to remember that to be absent from the body is be present with the Lord. And therefore, the souls of men is with the Lord, but the body is asleep in the grave. Some people try to believe that there is a soul sleep, but the Bible teaches against that. In Revelation 6:9, we get a little viewpoint of a soul in heaven. And those souls in heaven were not sleeping. They were alive, talking to God. But the souls that are dead, waiting for the rapture, that has died a physical death, their souls is present with the Lord if they're saved, and they're waiting to come back with him, and their bodies are going to resurrect, and they're going to be reunited with those, and the body's going to be changed. That's the whole teaching of what we refer to as the rapture. And the teaching of the Bible is the body sleeps, the soul never sleeps. It is alive. It always stays alive. And by the way, there will be a resurrection of the damned, those who are not saved. They will be resurrected and they will be given a body that will endure the punishment and torments of hell forever and ever and ever. And so therefore, when death and hell delivers up the dead in them, and they will be, then they will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, let me say this. I'm not preaching this to try to force something upon somebody, or if you have done something to someone's body, if they are saved, nothing changes them from being saved. If they are saved, nothing will prevent the resurrection. It will not affect either one of those things in their life. Now, some people, it may bother the testimony, but we have one example to follow. And we as Christians, we need to go into the Word of God. And so therefore, it's hard to dispute when you look at God's viewpoint of burning bodies and God's viewpoint of death of his people. Always with his people, even when it wasn't convenient. Even the example of our Lord, they buried it. And whenever God's curse, God's wrath, time and time again, he would send fire down from heaven and he would consume someone. And so therefore, as for me, as for this preacher, I'm convinced. Now, I don't mind if somebody just digs a hole out there and throws my old body in that hole. You can bury me however you want to bury me. It doesn't bother me. I definitely don't want somebody to pay a fortune for a casket and vault and all those things. But I don't want you burning my body either. I just want to be buried in a hole. And when Jesus comes back, as Job says, the worms may eat my flesh, but in my flesh I shall see him when it's changed. And so I'm waiting for the resurrection. And every time that we go to a gravesite and we bury someone, by faith we're believing if they are saved that we will see them again in heaven. But they will have a glorified body when we see them. And that body's going to come up out of the grave. As a matter of fact, when Jesus resurrected in Matthew 27, verses 50 through 53, when he resurrected, the graves began to burst open, the Old Testament saints, and they came up out of the grave. And so therefore, what we need to understand is this. We need to understand we're planting our seeds by burying our bodies. But now, don't take me wrong. You say, well, preacher, I didn't know any of this. And, you know, there's sometimes we do things that we're ignorant of, or sometimes we do things that we just don't study out and figure out. But again, it doesn't stop someone from being saved. If they're saved, they're eternally saved. And regardless, if someone's burnt in a house fire and their ashes is everywhere and you can't get a body, or someone drops over in the sea and no one ever sees them again, God knows where that body is. And when it comes time to resurrect that body, he'll be able to bring it forth. And so it's not the inability of God to bring a body out of ashes. It's just the example that the Bible gives us as God's people in what we ought to do. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, those of us who are saved, we're so thankful that we have a hope. Our hope is an eternal hope. Our hope is one of a resurrection. And Lord, if we should die before Jesus comes back, Lord, we will be planted into the ground. And Lord, regardless of how decomposed our bodies get, when he comes back, we will all of a sudden be changed in the twinkle of an eye. And we'll be caught up together with him in the air. And there we will forever be with the Lord. And Lord, we thank you for that sweet promise. We thank you, Lord, for a promise of a glorified body. We do not yet know what it will be, but we know that when we see him, we will be like unto him. And Lord, we thank you for that sweet promise. But Heavenly Father, we want to pray for maybe someone that may be listening tonight. They're not saved. They need to understand that there's a resurrection coming for them too. And it's a resurrection, Lord, that they'll be cast into the lake of fire. But Lord Jesus came that he might die upon the cross of Calvary for their sins and provide a way that they wouldn't have to go there. He tasted death and hell for each and every man and woman. And Lord, he made a way that we all could be saved. That whosoever will, that would believe upon him, Lord, that they could be saved, if they'd believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. Lord, therefore we go forth preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And Heavenly Father, help us as we run into issues of life, not to just say, well, this is my opinion, but help us to study the word of God to be able to rightfully divide the word of truth. Lord, again, be with all the members. Lord, you know each and every one. Those that are struggling, we pray your hand upon them. And Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the greatest gift ever given to mankind. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.